Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time for Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you back on the air this morning. Tell us, what do you have for us this week in Creation Club? We've got some announcements, don't we?
First of all, we'll start with some announcements. Something going on today in St. Louis, there's a Children's Ministry Expo up at the St. Louis Airport Marriott. That's today, Friday the 6th of February, and they've got all kinds of displays and many speakers. Among the speakers is Brian Osborne of Answers in Genesis. He's going to give four presentations. One is called The Relevance of Genesis. That's at 9 this morning. Then at 10:45, Dinosaur's Delusion. At 2:15, Rocks and Fossils, Testimony of Noah's Flood. And at 4 p.m., What I Learned as a Public School Bible History Teacher. So that should be interesting for anybody who's in the St. Louis area and attending that event. Hopefully they'll catch at least one of his presentations. For those who are not in St. Louis and not going to that presentation, please be aware that Brian Osborne is available through Answers in Genesis, and they have a lot of materials on those very same topics that he'll be talking about. So you can go to answersingenesis.org or visit the Creation Museum and find out all about that. Then the second thing we want to announce is the Missouri Association for Creation is having its monthly meeting. Usually they meet on Monday, but here in February they're meeting on Tuesday, the 10th of February. They're meeting at Hope Congregational Church, 4200 Brown Road in St. Louis, 63134. The speaker is Gary Bates, who is the CEO of Creation Ministries International. And he's going to be speaking at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 10th, talking about who made God? Can there be an uncreated creator? So that could be an interesting topic as well. That's February the 10th, 7 p.m., Hope Congregational Church, 4200 Brown Road in St. Louis. Again, the speaker is Gary Bates from Creation Ministries International. If you're not in the St. Louis area and you can't attend the meeting, you can go look up on the website about Gary Bates and Creation Ministries, and you can find out more about his books and topics and the ministry of Creation Ministries International. But we'd like to move on from those announcements on to another topic today, if we've got a little bit of time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, you know, people think that the fossil evidence is just a slam dunk for evolution. They think, you know, there's no use arguing because we know from all the fossils that evolution is true. And that's really not the case. Fossils go against evolution and support the creation model of origins much better. And the more you learn about fossils, the more you understand that fossils point to our creator. They point to the flood of Noah's day. They point to things that would certainly be in conformity with what the Bible teaches. And very often, people who are scientists have misused fossil evidence and even faked fossil evidence because they so want to have people believe their story of evolution, even when the fossils don't support the theory of evolution. One of the most famous examples of that is Piltdown Man. You know, Piltdown Man is based on the results. A man found an Englishman by the name of Charles Dawson was an archaeologist who verified that what was found in a gravel pit in Piltdown in Sussex, southern England, in 1912 was a skull, and they thought it was a human skull, and then they found a jawbone, and they thought, well, this looks like kind of like an ape jawbone, but they think it's part of the same organism, and so they thought, well, what do you know? Here we have evidence for evolution, that the man was developing into man from ape. Here back in the good old days here in good old England. And they even named Piltdown Man Eoanthropus Dawsoni, which means Dawson's Dawn Man. In 1915, another Dawn Man was found a couple of miles away from the site of the first one. Fossil remains of animals that lived with Piltdown Man together with the tools that he used were also found at the two sites. At last, there was proof that apes had evolved into humans in England. Almost 40 years later, in 1953, Piltdown Man was exposed as a forgery mainly through the work of Dr. Kenneth Oakley, he showed that the skull was from a modern human and that the jawbone and teeth were from an orangutan. The teeth had been filed down to make them look human, and the bones and teeth had been chemically treated and sometimes even painted to give them the appearance of being ancient. In addition, it was also shown that none of the finds associated with Piltdown Man had been originally buried in the gravel that had been deposited at Piltdown. The Piltdown Man fraud was a great embarrassment to the UK scientific community, and questions about it were even asked in the House of Parliament. Now, the story of Piltdown Man is great for us, as we witnessed, to help people realize people were fooled by this for about 40 years. Even the greatest scientists wanted to believe so much in the story of apes turning into men that they overlooked what should have been obvious. And in hindsight, they said, well, yeah, we should have seen from the outset that this was fraud. But they saw what they wanted to see. So this reminds us that that fossils are interpreted by fallible men and people who want to believe in evolution and want others to believe in evolution sometimes will emphasize certain things and overlook some other things that are really obvious just in the effort to try to have a fossil that proves their point. And in the end, you know, you have to give fossils a time that you really look at them, let everybody look at them, and see if it really tells the story that the evolutionist wants to tell. Now, the story I want to tell today has to do with Piltdown chicken. many of our listeners may have be subscribers to National Geographic magazine, and back in 1999, you may recall, there was an issue of National Geographic magazine that heralded the find of Archaeoraptor. And they were so excited that they had found a flying dinosaur, a missing link between terrestrial dinosaurs and birds that could actually fly. This fossil is perhaps the best evidence since Archaeopteryx that birds did, in fact, evolve from certain types of carnivorous dinosaurs. All of these are quotations from that magazine, November 1999 issue of National Geographic. Again, new bird-like fossils are missing links in dinosaur evolution. And one more, let's see, the mix of advanced and primitive features is exactly what scientists would expect to find in dinosaurs experimenting with flight. So they were really excited in proclaiming, you might say crowing, that they had found this missing link. And now, so there, you Bible believers, we have proven that birds evolved from dinosaurs. Well, not so fast. You know, actually, even before they went to press, they had hired Dr. Timothy Rowe, who's a professor of biology and geology at the University of Texas and also the director of Vertebrate Paleontology Laboratory of the Texas Memorial Museum, to check out this fossil to see if it was all that they hoped it would be. And he had already before this examined some other fossils like this one that came from China and found that they were frauds. And what he did, he uses a CT scanner, and he scans these things. He says when you first pick up the fossil, it looks like it's massive and intact, and it's very convincing. You look at this and say, wow, if they actually pulled this out of the ground like this, this is really a rare and wonderful example. But then he submitted the specimens to CT scanning, and with the CT scanner, you can see this is faked. They put together stuff from multiple rocks and multiple fossils and glued it together and used grout and so on to produce and then painted over it so to make it look very authentic. So even the scientists just looking at it thought they were authentic, but when he used the CT scanner, he said they were made of many, many pieces and was faked. It was not what they claimed it to be. And he had done this previously, so the National Geographic Society hired him also to examine this Archaeoraptor fossil, and he examined it and found that it was actually composed of 88 pieces of rock and bone, at least 65 of those pieces did not belong to the fossil itself. They came from elsewhere, and they were glued together and put together with grout and so forth to make a faked fossil to have the features that the scientists wanted to see: part dinosaur, part bird. And voila, so you make your own fossil. And this is apparently a real industry in China. So whenever you hear of a fossil, a new recent find of a fossil that comes from China, the red flag should go up. You should say, this could very likely be faked, because this is a cottage industry in China to make fossils that look real and that they can sell to commercial fossil buyers, who then are going to try to sell them to museums and so forth. People will spend, you know, $80,000, $100,000, you know, for a really good-looking fossil that may be the next missing link. Well, it turns out this was not the missing link that National Geographic said it was. It had been shown to be a forgery, and Dr. Rao announced this to National Geographic magazine 3 months before they went to press. And you know what? They went to press anyway. And the scientist that had been the main contact with Dr. Rao said, well, we know all these Chinese fossils are messed with. So he went ahead, and when they had a press conference, he announced to the world they had found the missing link, and they went ahead and published this big 10-page article on the missing link that they had found. And then only later, in March of the year 2000, they printed a little tiny retraction that they admitted that, well, now on further analysis, we decided this may not really be the wonderful missing link that we thought it was. But it was, you know, just a couple of sentences long and buried where people would hardly ever see it. So most of the world today has this idea that we have the missing link. We have proven that dinosaurs had feathers, and that you move from dinosaurs to birds, and that's, it's bogus. It is based on faked evidence. And so what does this mean for us as Christians? You know, as Christians, first of all, we believe what the Bible says about creation, and that includes the creation of birds, which according to Genesis were created on day 5, and that God made every winged fowl after its kind. And of course, he made the birds, as well as all other living things, to reproduce after their own kind. Dinosaurs, the land-dwelling dinosaurs, would have been made on day 6 with the other land animals. So clearly, birds did not evolve from dinosaurs, according to God's word, and also according to science. There is not scientific evidence, fossil evidence, of birds evolving from dinosaurs. And for us, it's a matter of always going back to this. We know the truth of God's word. God does not lie. And so we have God's own eyewitness testimony of what he did and how he did it in Genesis. And we should believe that. And at the same time, we should not be afraid of real science. But real science, including real paleontology, means that you look at real fossils and you don't fake fossils. You know, and that should be, Christians should be aware that they don't fake fossils either, because there's always that temptation for people who believe the Bible to want to find the perfect fossil to prove their point. You know, people trying to prove that they could find the remains of Noah's Ark, for example, or something like that. We have to have a healthy skepticism when people present things, and you say, let's examine this carefully. We know the Bible is true. You know, fossils and archaeological things have to be examined, and we have to think about what they mean. But fallible human beings are doing the examining and the interpreting. So be careful not to be misled either by the evolutionist or by some well-meaning Christians who may sometimes play fast and loose with fossil evidence too. So you have to be very careful about this. But ultimately, how do we know the truth? From God's word. That's how we know the truth. And the truth that God tells us in Genesis about creation ties in with everything else he tells us in the Bible. You know, we have the story of Adam and Eve, fall into sin, and the promise of the coming of the Savior. And God fulfilled all his promises, going back to the promises made to his people in Genesis, that he would send the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, who would be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, who would suffer and die on a cross to take away our sins, who would rise again on the third day. All of those promises God made, he fulfilled in the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. We heard again in your Bible study today, you know, the disciples were convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you know, you're going to see greater things than the things that they had already seen early in his ministry, because he did do everything that God said he would do. He died and rose again for us to save us from our sins, and in him we have forgiveness, life, and salvation. So knowing that the Bible teaches the truth about Jesus, all the more we want to believe, you know, the Bible tells us the truth from the very beginning, and we should not easily be discouraged or misled by what goes by the name of science, but often is very unscientific.
Back to the word. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Wirth. We'll talk again in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll be at the Southern Illinois District Convention.
Have a good trip.
Thank you. God's blessings.
God bless you.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer right here on His Time.